This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The highfalutin Indianapolis steakhouses and bars, and either agents or personnel people get a little tipsy and they say things that they probably shouldn't, and then those things get reported on. So let's see if that happens as far as the Steelers quarterback whispers go this week. And I want Stafford on the market, and I agree with Schlereth. ESPN.com, when you clicked on ESPN today, the number one story they had was, okay, this is the offseason priority list, or this is the offseason game plan for every team. What should it be? And for the Steelers, it was they need to go out and, by hook or by crook, make a Matthew Stafford trade. Get him in fortunes change. Get him an outlook changes for 2025. Get him, and you can say, in a division with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, we actually have a quarterback who can compete with those guys again. Not one where you're going in to those matchups with a massive quarterback disadvantage and needing other things
and
to win you games.
Schlereth, though, fell victim, I think, to the same trap that a lot of people in his position do. By when he started ticking off what are the good things about the Steelers that having Stafford around would suddenly bring to the forefront, he brings up Mike. A guy who everybody respects, you know. Do people respect him? Sure. What has he done to earn like benefit of the doubt as one of the major strengths of this team right now? Dragged a bunch of substandard teams that.
And
he
if I were
create.
On that Stinking Truth podcast, guess what, Chris? I would have done exactly that. Hey, Schlereth, hold your horses, pal. The reason why I want Matt Stafford is because somebody's got to put Tomlin on his back, and you know, get him out of this treadmill of mediocrity that he's on right now.
Well, no, somebody's got to be so good and so accomplished, and I think Stafford is both of those things, that for Mike, it is undeniable. And I even think this is different than Russell Wilson, because Stafford clearly still has like a fastball, a very good one too.
All right, so if he came into the league throwing 102 like Skeens, what is he throwing right now?
He's still throwing 96 and touching 98 when he needs to.
Nice movement on it.
Yeah, I mean, the 96 like sinks and dips.
And he's evolved as a pitcher where he's thrown in secondary stuff. He's got a nice
mixing
blinker.
In a circle change. He also does strike me as a better fit than I thought for Arthur Smith for this reason. I saw a stat. The Steelers ran the highest percentage of passes from just traditional under center sets, which was, I think, 31%. And so, I mean,
where'd you find that stat? That's some deep Mulsey research right there.
I think it was literally in the ESPN piece you've been citing. You just didn't read it all.
Oh.
So how deep was that research, Don?
I told you, I saw the headline and then I saw what it said. And I go, well, this is a good topic.
To me, he legitimizes them in some ways for sure. He makes them a live wire. If we have been constantly talking about, does he make them more interesting? The answer is yes, but I assume he wants a contract ripped up and redone.
He does.
So he's making, what, $35 million a year. That's not even like NFL average at this point for the position. We did this on Judge Donnie, and I'm just going to go back to this. I would be excited for sure. If I found out, like, somebody said to me, hey, the Steelers somehow traded, I don't know, this year's second and next year's third for Stafford, or next year's pair of seconds. Rams want a first. You give them a pair of seconds instead. Keep your firsts. Would I be excited? Yes. Would I think, though, that ultimately you are just trying to continue to bandage the problem and spackle it up a little bit? Yes, and then I would be frustrated because it would be another short-term approach for a team that never seems to actually play a long game anymore. It's always about right now, but when there's no reason to think that one guy can put him over that hump.
I've heard you say that, but I don't understand why it can't be both. I don't understand why in this scenario you couldn't trade for Stafford and still pick your quarterback in the first round next year. Stafford, it's not like a Ben situation where he bristles at quarterback coming in to take his job.
I just don't think
he would be hired here as a mercenary.
I guess I don't have faith in them as a franchise that they would view it that way and handle it that way. Maybe I'd be proven wrong, but like they don't really have any, and this starts at the owner. Like, if anybody is gonna escape sort of blame from me here, it's Omar Khan and Andy Weil to a large extent. I just feel like the owner and the head coach, who both have a huge sway in how this franchise looks year over year, I don't give either of them the grace that they can thread that needle.
So I'm still trying to then figure out where you stand on this. Are you coming around to the Stafford idea? Because it sounds lukewarm at best to me. You're not on a fence, but it sounds like you're barely over it.
You can decide where this puts me.
You sound like a follower who's like, yeah, like, I guess I will call off from school and go drink with my friends, but it wasn't my idea. If I get in trouble, I'm blaming your ass immediately. I'm telling my mom it was Pony's idea.
If we were friends growing up, I would have been blaming you every time. I think this is where I kind of zero out on it, and that's, would I be excited if a trade happened? Yes, just inherently, because he is a huge name who's still good. You don't have to talk yourself into, I think this will work, like, frankly, you did with Russell Wilson. Stafford's good enough to be a force multiplier.
By the way, on the Russell Wilson front, more viral videos of him being posted already working out and preparing for next year. And here's the sickening part of it. Of course, he's doing it in Steelers gear with black and gold shirt and shorts and his signature gold Steelers cleats today, going through his drills. Just letting the world know, yes, I'm technically not under contract, but I still believe that I will be the Steelers quarterback.
Me and the Steelers are still going to be going steady.
Donnie, have you come around to Stafford
I guess
yet?
No. If you want a yes or no answer, I would still say no. I want at some point somebody to take a big boy, put on their big boy pants and make
hard
decisions.
But I just told you, you can do both.
I do not have the faith in them as a front office, as a franchise, how they're being run lately, that they'll pull that off.
Donald?
And we're still going under the assumption it would be a first-round pick.
Well, Chris just brought up the idea of 2 seconds.
Yeah, see, and I don't think I would do that, because you and I had that conversation a couple of weeks ago. A couple of, like, multiple second-round picks for a quarterback that definitely makes them better, maybe wins them a playoff game. I know he was the guy that was the most competitive against the Eagles in the playoffs, but in the nature of how the AFC is and how the Steelers defensively have performed in playoff games in recent years, it still doesn't make me feel like they're in the top four. Like, they're probably not even going to reach the final four of the AFC by bringing him in. So if it's all to do that, to maybe win a playoff game, which still isn't a promise, I don't know.
I mean, the Houston Texans have made the top four in the AFC the last 2 years. So I don't think that it seems like it's outlandish or a silly proposition, because the Steelers haven't been to a spot like that since 2017. I get it. I mean, I suffer from that same pessimistic attitude about, like, where they can go and what they can do. But I mean, I'm completely honest with you. My entire view of the Steelers in terms of, like, how I feel about what's going to happen next season changes if a guy like this strolls in.
New,
like, I would have a real excitement level of, okay, maybe things will be different this year. I don't have to, like, talk myself into it or pretend to myself or lie to myself about what they can be.
I have a question that maybe should have occurred to me earlier about all of this. By the way, Cam Hayward tweeting, don't let them fool you. We got work to do. We'll maybe decipher that.
Maybe he was talking about USA Hockey?
Perhaps. By the way, that, do you know that game was the most viewed hockey game in...
Well, I tell you.
Ever? More, higher you, higher Steve, viewed than any NHL game ever, 9.3 million.
Stephen
viewers.
A. Smith's JetBlue test worked.
Pony, here's a thought. The Rams have a really good, really young defense. They were possibly a Kevin Dotson false start away from beating the Eagles in Philly in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford's the reason that they battled back in that game.
Right.
I didn't look up their cap situation. Presumably, if they really wanted to give him a new deal and rip this one up, they could.
Yes.
Why are we not sounding at least some alarms
that
a smart team is at least willing to deal and isn't willing to just try to mend fences with the guy?
I think two things are potentially in play here. I think number one is you might have an issue where the coach of the team is so full of himself where he thinks, much like Belichick did when he tried to prematurely move off Brady for Garoppolo, I don't need this old guy anymore. I can pretty much make any quarterback good.
Baker Mayfield came over here off of a flight and won a game. John Wolford was my pick over
I'm
Jared
just a
Goff.
Quarterback's okay. Savant.
I don't think that the evidence backs that up in his case, but...
And then the other one is, I think it seems a little bit like it's gotten personal with Stafford, where he either feels disrespected because of the contract he had signed before last season, you know, some of the things his wife has said about, like, the way they've been treated by the team and how they view the Cooper Kupp situation. They've let business get personal, I guess, is what I'm saying, is what it sounds like to me, if he does end up leaving. Like, you know what, maybe we're just better off without each other, kind of thing. Which, to your point, I think is the wrong way of looking at it. I think right now they're made for each other.
Just,
but you know when egos get in the way and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, patch up your difference. I don't think if you're the Rams, you are at least seemingly willing to trade him unless maybe you think he really has lost a little more off.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That fastball.
5:15, time to start the weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. East Carson Street. Archie is the man. Open phone Friday, 412-928-9370. Get to your calls here. I thought a guy named Dan Pizzuta, I've never heard of him. He works for the 33rd team. So do former NFL GMs, and so does our friend Steve Palazzolo, another Paisan. He did a tiers thing. Tiers are all the rage. People make tiers like crazy. Quarterback situational tiers. 9 tiers. Number one tier was your quarterback makes your life easy. 5 teams. Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Commanders, Bengals.
Sounds about right.
I mean, that's just, you know, you've got...
That's common sense.
You've got it made in the shade with those guys.
Force multipliers.
And then right below that, like, next best thing, Chargers, Packers, Texans, Eagles, Cowboys. Quibble with a couple of those, but you get the...
Surprised, well, after his playoff exit, I'm not surprised Detroit's maybe not there.
You get the gist of this.
Yep.
So there's 9 of these. The bottom is tier 9. Called Just Keep Restructuring, where you have a bad quarterback on a hellaciously bad deal and there's no relief in sight, and he puts the Saints and Browns.
I was just going to say Saints
there.
Browns has to be
Derek it. Carr and James and obviously Deshaun Watson, and then one tier up from that. Tier A, who is playing quarterback? Question mark. Giants, Titans, Raiders, Jets, Steelers. That's who you're lumped in with. Those four other teams. They're, according to this list, there's only two teams in the NFL that have it worse than you.
Not great.
And two of the, well, actually, in theory, all of those teams are high enough up in the draft. The Tennessee is the first pick where they could at least try to solve their quarterback problem.
If they want
problem.
To, they could do it, yeah.
You can't. And as I said earlier, man, doesn't it make you yearn for the days of Big Ben again?
Yeah, you tweeted, this is life after Big Ben in quarterback hell. They were in quarterback hell at the very end of his career because he wasn't the Big Ben that he had previously been.
Kind of.
No, I'm right.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
You're wrong.
Nope, and no takebacks.
Here's Adam on the fan. Hello, Adam. You're on Open Phone Friday.
Hey, guys. Good to talk with you. I'm a first-time caller.
Nice.
So I'm 46 years old. I was one when the Pirates won their last World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. The phone getting shut.
Adam, I'm going to put you back on hold. I'm not going to hang up on you.
We want to try to get your phone situation straightened out.
So if you can hear me now, I'm going to put you on hold. Let's hope that you get better service, and we'll come back to you, and we'll finish.
I wanted to hear where that was headed.
You've been a Pirate fan for 46 years. The last time they won a World Series was 79 when you were one. Here is John and Shaler. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Good. Hey, I appreciate what all you guys do, and I enjoy listening to you. I have a question or maybe a thought. You guys are always talking about who the next quarterback can be, and I just feel like that is such the tip of the iceberg. Like, it doesn't really matter. So I feel like underneath the iceberg is where all of our problems are. And just wondering, like, if you guys would spend time talking about how we could fix those problems.
What are those problems? So you're telling me that that's the tip of the iceberg. Explain to me what you see as being beneath the surface.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. I'm not smart enough to know, but you guys are way more.
Well, John, I think we've both talked about this a lot. I think what's underneath the surface is an organizational rot or a stagnancy where the owner is too hesitant to make bold moves. The head coach is too empowered with too few results. And some of the mindsets that permeate the team are way behind the times in the NFL.
I agree with all
John,
that.
John, that's why if there's critical listening happening, that's why I'm saying somebody like Stafford is the only guy that really does it for me. Because if I think the owner is antiquated, if I think the coach is stubborn, and I don't think either one of those guys is going to offer up solutions, I basically need a quarterback who can overcome those things. That's why I agree, like Justin Fields would be the tip of the iceberg that doesn't change things. I still think I'd be stuck where I am. And I would say that for almost all of the options that are out there, except one. There is one who I think might
Matthew
be an
Stafford.
Elixir for that. Yes.
Can I interest you in a Michael Brewerly tweet?
Please.
Bet on yourself. ... First response, you're not Calvin Ridley, bruh. Which is kind of a good one.
How about Jameson Williams?
Yeah.
How about the dude who bet when he was with the Colts, got cut? Howie Roseman's like, he won't be Pete Rose. He won't be banned for life. I'm going to pick him up and stash him. Dude comes back, plays special teams in corner for the Eagles this year, wins the Super Bowl. In that respect, it actually did pay to bet and lose. Guy got to a better situation and won a championship, and he wasn't along for the ride like Pickett. He actually played.
Howie's playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers.
And he's getting hit in the head with full cans of beer and bleeding
He bled for his city. God, that was a very clear... The mark that can left made it seem like somebody fired it without it spinning at all. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And like it hit him directly in the head that way. That has to hurt like hell, man.
I know. As Scott Farrell would say, he was bleeding worse than the Exxon Valdez.
I always thought it was Valdez. Do you know where...
Like the guy that hosts the overnight show on the station next door to us?
Rich Valdez. No, his is Valdez.
I thought he said it with almost like a lisp.
Well, no.
Valdez.
He might. The woman who does the imaging for that show goes, "It's America at Night with Rich Valdez."
Mm. Let's see if we can get Adam now. Adam called in. He had bad service. Let's see if we can pick up where that conversation left off. Adam, you still there?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
So again, 46 years old.
Yep.
Pirates won a World Series. I don't remember it. 91, I bawled my eyes out at 13 when Sim Bream slid in. Mm-hmm. And over the years, and I just want your opinion on this, I'm so psychologically distraught because of the Pirates that I look at the Tribune Review online, and there's a picture of Paul Skenes catching a football over his shoulder. And this bothers me because I'm so afraid, oh, man, here we go. He's going to wind up getting hurt. In the NFL, they have a receiver or a back or a coach catch the ball when quarterbacks are warming up, and they flip it to the quarterback, and he throws it again. And I'm sure there's nobody out there in the outfield or whatever. But I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on this. I know it seems cheesy or corny, but I'm so afraid he's going to wind up getting hurt, and there it goes.
He does. I'm not sure if that was for real, but if it is, I'll just say this.
Oh, I think that was real.
He, two things. He does a lot of unorthodox things to get himself ready for games and to get himself
ready
for pitch.
Football to get himself
and
ready.
And I actually give the Pirates credit for allowing him to be himself because he's so good. But the thing I can't deny in any of what you said is when you've been a Pirate fan for so long and you've experienced so much losing, you do always have a Murphy's Law outlook for the team where you think the worst things will happen and are oftentimes going to happen to them. So him doing something goofy and
otherwise
quotes,
seemingly harmless, they would be the team where he breaks a finger.
Yep.
And then during the process to fix the finger, something goes wrong and he's never the same pitcher again.
Here is Ben next. Hello, Ben.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, getting back to the Stafford thing, if you were Stafford, why would you come here? You know, you have a young and unproven offensive line with Broderick Jones probably being your left tackle. You know, outside of George Pickens and Freiermuth, who are you going to throw to? And also, the AFC is jam-packed with competition, I would argue, more than the NFC to get back to a Super Bowl. Thanks.
Yep, I think that there are guys like Skenes, to go back to him, who just think they're so good, none of that matters, and they're going to take a team and make them better, and he might be wired that way.
Matt Stafford might have looked at what happened last year in 2023 against the Steelers and said, I want to go play. I don't want to have to ever play against that defense again. They shut me down in the second half.
Big Al is on the fan. Hello, Big Al.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show.
Thank you, Big Al.
How big is Big Al, by the way? Are you like 6'5", three bills?
No, not even close.
Oh. We call my wife Big Al, me and all of her friends, which is ironic because her name is Alexandra and she's like 5'2".
I'm closer to that than 6'5", probably.
Okay.
Okay. What do you got for us?
A question for you. If you would kind of extrapolate out what the first quarterback of the season did, I think he went, 4-2?
Yes.
Where do you think he would have ended up for the year? And then the other question I have, I really didn't follow what he did the rest of the year. But Jameis Winston looked pretty good against the Steelers. Is he going to be available?
Yes, Big he's Al, available.
Big Al, I have an opinion on Winston that I think I can say here with confidence that Pony feels like it's the definitive Jameis opinion. It's always fun to watch Jameis when he's playing for somebody else's team because of how madcap and crazy it is. Not as much fun when Jameis is your team's quarterback.
And he would give Tomlin a heart attack with the turnovers and risky business play.
The thought of Tomlin running onto the field to just tackle him so he couldn't make a risky across-the-body throw, though, is kind of funny.
Ground Zero fan listener Robin North for Sales joins us.
We saw our guy Rob a couple days ago.
Hello, Rob. What's up?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Looking forward to the 15th anniversary. I'm not going to talk QB hell because I've lived it. This is the second time I've lived through it, and it's horrible. I want to get your take on one of the dumbest, longest-standing policies in Yankees' facial hair policy. And who do you think has the potential to pull off the best facial hair on that team?
Thank you, Rob.
Ooh, I like that question. That was in
my
hodgepodge.
Cole had a nice beard back when he was with the Pirates, so maybe he can bring that back.
I think Cole will do like a good job trimming. My bigger question, that was my main hodgepodge discussion, so Rob is an OG listener with a great mind for radio.
And I liked that policy.
Oh, I'm glad it's done. I thought it was stupid and antiquated.
Exactly. That's why you liked it.
Yeah. Mr. pays his bills with, you know, carrier pigeons to take his bills.
No, I just
sucked. Pony's rolling up a check in a carrier pigeon.
Like 1912, if you have a guy with a curly Q mustache.
He's sending it to the Chase credit card company to pay off his credit card bill.
Okay, you guys must live in a world where you like the Yankees. I happen to despise them and loathe them. And the fact that their players, even though they made a bajillion dollars, had to go there and shave and make themselves look like they were like 15-year-olds like going to like a military school, I thought that was hilarious, and I wanted them to keep it. Because every time a guy that would get traded there who always had facial hair, I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to
Did Josh Donaldson
totally
have to
different.
Like shave and it looked like one of those deals?
All those guys did, Chris.
Where the guy like doesn't shave his beard for 20 years and his wife starts crying once they shave the beard finally on like TLC. My question is, what Yankees player stands the greatest chance of, like, running afoul of this? Because it's very broadly stated, right? It's, like, neatly trimmed or, like, well-kept, well-groomed beards. So who's the guy most likely to show up like a member of the band Anthrax?
I don't get the Anthrax reference, but that's okay.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think Bellinger could let it go.
I'm looking at their roster right now. Man.
Do they have a bunch of ex-Pirates there, or is it just Gerrit Cole?
I think it would be very funny if Jazz Chisholm tried to come in looking like Kimbo Slice used to. He just grows like the big, like, you know, almost like cage fighter beard.
Man, that seems like a lifetime ago when we were discussing if Jazz Chisholm was a good fit for the Pirates.
And then he mashed for the Yankees.
He did for a little bit, and then he tapered off, and then he got hurt.
Once football season ended, and instead of doing the normal Football Friday, getting you ready for the Steelers game or getting you ready for the NFL playoff game kind of conversation that we'd have at this time, it turned into, what the hell are we going to be watching and doing this weekend? What sports are going to be on our TV? So we created this segment to each get off a take or question about the things that we are interested in keeping up on over the weekend. So I have a few here, but I will start by ceding the floor to Malzi on this because the last time I think I talked first. By the way, the weekend technically starts when we sign off at 6. So if there was something you wanted to watch tonight, you could put that on there sports-wise.
I know there's one you and I are both going to be watching, and believe it or not, I'm actually going to leave that one to you.
Really? Because I was going to give it to you if you wanted it.
You know, I'm going to take it then.
Go ahead.
That's fine. I'm going to be watching Robert Morris versus Wisconsin Green Bay. I think they've stylized that now as just Green Bay. I believe Green Bay under Doug Gottlieb's tutelage as head coach is 3-22 or 3-23. Doug is, and this just, again, feels like an almost unbelievable statement to make, Doug is hosting a radio show every afternoon and then coaching his team. So I don't know if Doug, what time does his show run?
His show gets done now at 5 Eastern. Okay. So he got off the air a half hour ago.
And he started at what, 3?
He started at 3.
Doug Gottlieb does 2 hours of radio that are contained within the 4 hours we do. His game against Robert Morris and Andy Toole, who have won 10 of 11 and are like the hottest team in the Horizon League, starts at 7. My understanding of even mid-major college hoops, any level of D1, is 2 hours before the game, you are well into game prep and getting going on all that stuff, getting locked in. Doug was doing hot takes about God knows what. I cannot wait to watch that game tonight. And I think what they should be doing is quietly putting an alternate broadcast ISO cam on Gottlieb the whole time. His team stinks. They've gotten some injuries. It's not completely his fault, but it's mostly his fault. He shouldn't even be allowed to do this. I think it's ridiculous. And I hope Robert Morris beats them by 100.
He is, I think, the easiest coach in America to recruit against. I would say to any player that was deciding between his program and mine, he's not even all in on his job. He is less committed, potentially, than you are. Because how can you say you're all in when you have two jobs?
How can you ask to all of your players to be all in and committed to the program when you're not?
And he might, like, you know, Doug's a smart, articulate guy. He might say that's unfair, but if I said back to him, well, if Andy Toole also worked at a car dealership and got done at 5, you're telling me you wouldn't go to your players and say, why would you want to go play at Robert Morris? This guy's trying to talk people into buying Ford Tahoes.
What's it going to take for me to put you in this F-150?
I don't think Ford and Tahoe, by the way, are the same.
They're not.
Yeah,
Shep, that's why I said F-150 to try to bill you out
there. But, you know, you get the gist of what I'm saying.
Here's the other thing that no one ever mentions with this, and I think it's disrespectful to our profession. Doug's not my cup of tea. I guess he's good at his job because he even gets me, a guy who should know better, fired up sometimes.
Again, this segment's just not the same without music, and that's on Craig. Right, Don?
Yeah, that's true.
Look at him in there.
That's true. He looks crestfallen. You know what?
We have all these great Friday beds for the Thank God It's Friday segment. And we're not allowed to use them anymore. And
we'll get it fixed. We're going to get it fixed.
Do you feel like we've gotten sufficient reason for why we can't? Like when Craig told you why the music...
Has there been any movement on
did
that?
Did you say, you know what? That actually makes sense, Craig. Thank you for telling me that.
And you've clarified it. We'll live with it for now until we find it right.
So on the specific one that we got broached about yesterday, yes, I did talk to him further about that.
Mm-hmm. How about the other ones? Nothing?
That was more of a... Looking into it? Well... But that was also more of a...
Please tell me you did not get the dreaded I'm looking into
it
thing.
No, I did not. I'm going to say that got more of the let's just not play those for now and let's try to figure out how to get them into the system to be played.
Okay, just final thought on Gottlieb.
How to get them into the system? Is that hard? A system transfer?
I'll admit that this sounds like one of the... Remember the old days of computers when they first started and it was like a mainframe that took up an entire room and it looked
so complicated?
God,
things were easier when you could put things on a floppy disk and transfer it from one computer to the other.
Why
don't we go full analog and get like old carts back from those days of radio? Anyway, one last thought on Gottlieb. Everyone crushes him and says, how could you possibly be all in on your basketball team if you're doing this radio show and worries about, because we can see his record, how bad of a team they are?
Yep.
Why is nobody on the radio side going, Doug, how can we trust that you're fully committed to sports talk radio?
I thought the same thing.
They're disrespecting us, and I don't know what Horizon League coaches make. I don't know what Doug's making. I can't imagine that the disparity in what he's being paid by each job is that big.
I think these Horizon League coaches are making like $1 million, maybe more.
Well, then I don't think Doug's making $1 million to do radio.
I think it would be funny if people like dug up horrible takes by Doug and then had signs that had those takes on him at the game tonight.
They'd run out of paper.
Imagine if I were the Green Bay coach, what that place would look like.
Oh, my God.
Pickett to Pickens is the new Montana.
They would be organizing your takes by, like, what category of bad. Was it about a quarterback? Was it about a Steelers quarterback? Was it about Lamar Jackson?
All right,
we'd have some home runs.
What are
there.
You looking forward to watching this weekend?
I'm disappointed there was no big pop from you guys for some PAC women's hoops tomorrow afternoon.
Who we got? Throw away the record books when?
1 o'clock, St. Vincent Grove City.
Oh, man. Two dry campuses.
Out in jolly old Latrobe.
Two dry campuses, right? Isn't St. Vincent the
Grove City definitely
Grove City's
is.
Definitely, yeah.
I think St. Vincent is supposed to be.
Are you doing play by play or color?
St. Vincent's got a drizzle going at some point.
Are you doing play by play or color?
Play by play for women's. I'm all alone for this game. I'm solo.
So you're Vin Scully
on the game.
Ooh.
Because there was a scheduling snafu
at
St. Vincent. Our buddy Jared Barton,
Pros
Channel 2,
over at KDK TV.
Yep.
He and I do a lot of these games together. He is bailing out some people at SVC because they need a PA announcer for the women's game. They don't normally play these basketball games this early. Usually the basketball games there are 4 and 6 on Saturdays.
So the PA guy can't make it, so he's sliding over
because
to do that.
They have another sport going on.
Massive opportunity for you. You want to do a goofy catchphrase that's harmless, any of that stuff? Who's there to stop you?
Well,
the world is your oyster.
I was
going
to say, I think as a tip of the cap to Mike Lang, I think if somebody has a great basket or a big play, you might have to...
Like, if somebody hits a game-winning three, you throw out a scratch my back with a hacksaw.
Or she's smiling like a butcher's dog and bring the house down.
Oh, yeah, I think that's well within your rights. I think people would know, obviously, it's a total homage.
If you posted that and said, hey, this is just my personal tip of the cap to one of the greatest to ever do it, people would love it. They would go crazy for it.
If somebody hits a sweet reverse layup and you just say, and how much fried chicken can you eat?
All right, so mine is actually the Penguins game tomorrow because I heard a very interesting thing from one of the reporters that happens to be in this building right now.
Mm.
It sounds like Sid is not going to play tomorrow against Washington.
At best, a game-time decision.
And that feels like a tacit admission that this team stinks.
Feels like a tacit admission that Four Nations was more important almost in some ways than coming back and playing for a team that's going nowhere.
Well, I think Sullivan said the best 10 days of hockey ever And here's the guy that's put the Stanley Cup over his head twice.
A total, this guy's earned it. He can do what he wants. If he wants to play in these games and not the first game back, so be it.
But, I mean,
what's the real attraction in this game? Is Ovi going to get closer to Gretzky?
Well, Penguins and Capitals is supposed to be a rivalry where you would need like a broken limb to not play in it, but it's not what it used to be. They're really good. We're not.
Are we not jealous enough of them here?
They're
10 points clear of Carolina and 9 points clear of Florida, man.
I know. Yes, jealousy that they're irrelevant right now and they've got a shot, jealousy, but I would say back 3 cups to 1 in that situation.
I understand that, but we're talking, okay, it's a what have you done for me lately business, and
true.
They've got, since 2018, they have 1 cup, Penguins have 0, and they executed, essentially, their rebuild on the fly, man.
Here's the one thing I'll say about Sid, and you have to preface it by saying, and rightfully so, the guy's allowed to do whatever he wants because he's one of the greatest hockey players, and everything he's done, signing back here for only $8.7 million, and I feel like I need to say these things because it, you know, weakens any criticism I have of him. You're a good weekend away from getting back in it. You're 6 points out. You beat Washington. You beat New York at home in back-to-back games. You go from 55 to 59 points. Now, we'll see what happens with everybody else, but just you take care of your own business, that would put you 2 points out. So, 6 points out, and you've got to leapfrog 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams. I mean, that seems close to insurmountable. But I would just say this. Here's all I would say to Sid if I were in Mike Sullivan's shoes or if I were Kyle Dubas. All I would say to him is, look, man, you're clearly not quite 100%, but you're close. You're good enough to play big minutes for Team Canada in this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
When we get out of it, sit then.